Blog Talk Radio.
I don't care how many contemporary songs they make, I love old school gospel.
I need a hand clapping, foot stomping.
I need a church.
Church, for I can pray this name. Hand clapping, foot stomping. Church, for I can pray this name. I've got to get to the altar to leave my burdens there. I need a church where I can pray this name. I need a hand clapping, foot stomping.
Come on, hands.
America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Our subject tonight is time to go paranoid. Conservative talkers have to band together. I have a poster that says, just because you're paranoid, it does not mean they're not out to get you. And tonight they got Michael Grimm. Michael Grimm is a representative from Brooklyn and Staten Island, who the Party of Death, the Democamo Party, has singled out for retribution because he is a God and country American. He served in the Marine Corps, and he also served in the FBI working undercover. And how they got him, and now he's a representative to the Congress. And how they got him on a 20-count indictment. They claim he stole $1 million. Yeah, it reminds me of a story my uncle told me once about a Chinese guy that the detectives had arrested, and they brought him in to police headquarters, and they called a big press conference, and the head detective in his drawer had a couple of opium pipes, a little opium, and other drug paraphernalia. And when the press came running in for the scoop, they announced this poor Chinese guy. He was just trying to get a little peace and quiet. That big headline was $1 million bust in Chinatown. So be careful of what you hear, especially when communists are near. And so they went after Michael Grimm. He had a restaurant business before he went into politics. And they charged him with income tax evasion, $1 million. He embezzled $1 million. And he was also the only person, the only businessman with a restaurant in New York that had illegal aliens for help. And he paid them off the books. Now, you can go into a Greek restaurant, an Italian restaurant, a Japanese restaurant, and you can holler, go into the kitchen, or just look at the busboys and holler, Jose, and see what you get. If the restaurants were paying everybody on the books, they would be closed. So, but this is what they did. They got them. So 20 counts. You know, how are you going to beat a 20-count indictment? You might beat 19 of them, but they're going to get you on the one. So they told them, look, we saw you taking $20 out of the register. We have you on film. You took $20 out of the register without declaring it. And we have a film. We have the four singles. We have the $5 bill and the 10. That's $20 in FBI talk, in IRS talk. And this was to a guy that worked undercover, risked his life. This guy went to Iraq and risked his life, walked prisoners back to a compound, through a minefield. And he's his mother's favorite son. And you think he's going to bring shame on his family name? So who's in charge of getting Michael Grimm? It's a lynch mob. And it's headed by a woman named Lynch. An African-American woman named Lynch, who is going to be Eric Holder's replacement. Now, why would Eric Holder and the Party of Death be interested in destroying a Michael Grimm? Is it because he goes to church on Sunday? He's a Catholic? Could be. IRS doesn't like Catholics. Could it be he's patriotic? Yes, that could be. The IRS doesn't like patriotic people. Could it be they want to take down the only American left in New York City now that we have a communist mayor and a communist president? Yes. And could it be that he might stand up for the protection of the police department? Well, here's the story. He was in charge. He was smeared by the communist press, and he got reelected. Now, is he as bad as Marion Barry getting reelected in the District of Columbia, getting caught live on tape smoking crack? And he became a model for legalized drugs. Oh, well, God go with Michael Grimm, because he's up against a rock in a hard place. and he's pleading guilty. And so there's a deal cut. I hope he gets a good deal. And now the communists are trying to get him removed from office because he's a convicted criminal. Boy, you know, if they wanted to convict criminals, there are a lot of other people they could go after for big bucks. Yeah. They had to say he stole $1 million. What are they going to say? He stole $22.95? It wouldn't look good under 20-count indictment. So here's my personal opinion. And by the way, he was totally smeared by politicommunists. You know, Politico? That's the communist wing of the Communist Party. Yeah. And here's what they said. A 20-count indictment is a stacked deck. This is what I'm saying. A 20-count indictment is a stacked deck against a conservative ordered by the lynch mob. Her name is Lynch. Isn't there another Lynch that killed the two cops? Was that guy's name Lynch? Oh, no. No. Lynch is a girl up in Brandeis University, an African-American girl. And she's up in Brandeis University. And she said she was glad the cops got killed. So Brandeis can't have that, you know. They can't be exposed like that and to have the world see their real intentions. So they asked her to resign. And she resigned. She turned in her affirmative action package. Yeah. And her cut me some slack envelope. Anyway, so that's another lynch. So you got two lynches that want to hurt Americans. And they're both African-American. And you have one lynch that's trying to save the cops from being killed. And he's Irish-American. And he's the president of the PBA. And he knows the scoop. And I watched the communist mayor, who, by the way, went to church today. And he snuck out the side door because he didn't want to hear the boos. Yeah, he snuck out the side door. Whenever these communists get in trouble, the first people they drag in is the Catholic Church. Janet Reno, when Bill Clinton sold Elian Gonzalez to Fidel Castro for future favors and pulled a big raid during Holy Week and were prepared to drag him out of the church, but it turned out he was hiding in a closet in a house, protected by grandmothers who were praying the rosary on their knees, holding up holy pictures, and they were stomped by the SWAT team, and CNN covered it for the Clintons and changed the story. And the mothers finally, when they gathered themselves together, they went and trashed the CNN booth. And they said Spanish words that mean very, very mean things. Yeah. So anyway, that's what happened to Elian Gonzalez. He got sold back into slavery by the Clintons for future favors. And it was real sad. So the people, the Cuban-American community, being double-crossed again, decided to torch the town. And Janet Reno ran over to a Catholic college and got the head nun to come out and speak to the Cubans in Spanish. And I'll never forget my mother-in-law watching TV, and she had bad eyesight, and she saw the nun come out. And she said, "Tom, is that nun wearing lipstick?" I says, "Yes, Grandma, she is." Says, "She's no nun." And she wasn't. And she was a political apparatchik. So you see, the communists are everywhere. They're in even the Catholic colleges. They're all over the place. They've infiltrated everything. There's nothing sacred. So what happened? After the seizure of Elian Gonzalez and Chuck Schumer held the kid so his feet didn't touch the ground and claimed he never touched American soil, and Geraldo Rivera shouted, "His son belongs with his father," and his father showed up at the airport and came to the door of the plane and gave America the finger, and brought a whole bunch of drugs that they hijacked them from Washington, D.C. And just like the Christmas story that's going to be told December the 24th, there was no room for Ilion at the inn. Yeah. Nobody to be found. Only one senator stood for Ilion. And senators have access to all military bases. But they wouldn't let Bob Smith from New Hampshire onto the base that was holding Ilion. Unbelievable, huh? You don't think you're living in a communist-controlled country? So, Ilion went back to Cuba, never to see the United States again. Now he's a good communist. But you know what? Now that relations are open, maybe we can bring him back to pitch for the Mets. And won't he be glad to be here? It'll take him a while. This seven-hour Castro speeches, it's kind of hard to be normal. But now we got seven-hour Obama speeches. Yeah, he's like a Fidel Obama. Okay, so what happened? There was also, I know what it was. Attorney General Lynch is expected to replace Eric Bagholder. And if you want to bag someone for high crimes, misdemeanors, and big money, get Holder and Clinton on the Mark Rich pardon, or the sale of Ilion Gonzalez, or the retirement of Mary Jo White, who killed the Clinton-Rich pardon investigation. Yeah. She was appointed to investigate Clinton. 2 weeks later, she retired. Janet Reno, and she took Janet Reno's place, was already out the door. And 2 weeks later, Mary Jo White retired, and so did the charges against Clinton under President Bush. I think a lot of people look the other way. I think when you get to the top, it's all the same people. So Mary Jo White retired. And the Clinton-Rich pardon investigation was killed. Ask Rudy Giuliani how he feels about his conviction of Mark Rich. He got Mark Rich time in prison for trading with the Iranians, not only oil, but I think if somebody really investigated, they would find out about weapons too. And Jimmy from Brooklyn said, yeah, why don't we ask Clinton about the machine gun delivery from China on the West Coast when the first 1,000 machine guns came in and then the Chinese got tipped off that the Americans knew they were coming with more. Oh, that's one of those stories that goes into the bylines underneath, you know, and you read up to about half the story and they go to a commercial. And that's the end of it. You've seen those news bylines. So how does Giuliani feel about his conviction of Mark Rich being overturned by the rich? Grimm is being forced to take a walk or lose a 20-count fight. Yet those on Staten Island and Brooklyn who know him, love him, and they reelected him. Because coming from the land of of the mafia, we know good guys and we know crooks, and the whole Democrat Party, which is now the Communist Party, is very crooked. You know the difference between a rhino and a communist when they get caught stealing? The rhino says he lies. He says I didn't do it. The communist, the Democrat, he says, you can't prove it. So, also, what about the missile tech secrets that were sold to the Chinese by Clinton? How much did he get for those? Oh, they were poor when they walked out of the White House. They were so poor they had to steal the silverware. Yeah. Oh, you mean he's like less miserable? Yeah. Yeah, less miserable. Okay, so Grimm is being forced to take a walk or lose a 20-count indictment. Enviro-Leninists, this is who we're up against today. Afro-Leninists, Islamo-Leninists, equals one united communist front. The followers of Bill Buckley have lost track of the communist movement. Now we have a communist president, a communist mayor, and communist infiltration of unions, political offices, religion, and sex, drug, rape universities. I want to tell you something. Any father that's taking his retirement money and betting on his kid $40,000 a year is going to get back a sick sex and communist. That's what you're getting back. You better carefully weigh your investment. Because he's coming out, he or she is coming out of your hide. Communist purge in the military and law enforcement is not by accident. Child brainwashing is not by accident. The destruction of American pride and heritage is not by accident. A communist president who wants to change the Star Spangled Banner to "I want to buy the world some coke." The Trojan horse is empty and the enemy is inside the gates, opening the gates. Conservative talk show hosts have to get on the same page and oppose the demo comments. How can we defeat a united enemy which has been working on the Constitution and the backbone of the nation since 1945? How are we going to beat him if we're not united? And remember what Ben Franklin said. What did Ben Franklin say, Tom? He said, "Gentlemen, if we don't hang together, surely we will all hang separately." So think about that. And also say a little prayer for the guys who are in jail in Fort Leavenworth on communist trumped-up charges marked premeditated murder for fighting to save their lives and their buddies' lives. Where? In Afghanistan and in Iraq. And never forget, this communist president has lost 2,347 Americans, 2,349, two died last week. And he lost them, and he covered it up. They've been marked in the communist press as what? They've been marked as NATO troops to be identified later, and later never comes. I'm going to give you another Negro spiritual. Okay, we're back. I found this today. I saved it for you. This is from the Tea Party, the only party that's fighting for America. A French soldier's view of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. And somebody said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but a word to the wise is sufficient, that there are elements that are infiltrating the Tea Party now that are going to try and destroy it. So heads up, be aware, and take everything with a grain of salt. A French soldier's view of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. The fact that there is a movement afoot to destroy the Tea Party means it's a bigger threat today than yesterday. And we got to get bigger and stronger. And we got to become more united. And do not let the communists force us to fight amongst each other. We have to be united as the communists are. So a French soldier's view of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. What follows is an account of a French ISAF soldier that was stationed with American warfighters in Afghanistan sometime in the past 4 years. And this was copied and translated from an editorial French newspaper, Nos Frères des Armes Américains. Frère is brother, it must be the army of the Americans. Our brothers, probably Nos is our. Okay, so our brothers of all in arms, probably the Americans. We have shared our daily life with two U.S. units for quite a while. They are the first and fourth companies of a prestigious infantry battalion whose names I would withhold for the sake of military secrecy. Oh, you ought to come and meet Private Manning. Mr. and Mrs. Manning, and you ought to come and meet Bo Birdcall. You ought to come and meet Snowjob Snowden, the KGB agent. Yeah. You ought to come and read the New York Times that gives out troop movements and locations. You ought to go with Geraldo Rivera on TV and watch him draw the positions of the unit that he's with in the sand. But you don't do that because you know better. So he is withholding the name of the unit. To the common man, it is a unit just like any other. But we live with them and got to know them. And we henceforth know that we have the honor to live with one of the most renowned units of the U.S. Army. One that the movies brought to the public as a series showing ordinary soldiers thrust into extraordinary events. Who are they, those soldiers from abroad? How is their daily life and what support do they bring to the men of our OMLT every day? Few of them belong to the Easy Company, the one the TV series focuses on. This one nowadays is named Echo Company and has become the support company. They have a terribly strong American accent. From our point of view, the language they speak is not even English. How many times did I have to write down what I wanted to say rather than waste precious minutes trying various pronunciations of a seemingly common word? Whatever state they are from, no two accents are alike, and they even admit that in some crisis situations, they have difficulties understanding each other. Heavily built, fed at the earliest age with Gatorade proteins and creatine, more like Waffle House and McDonald's, they are all heads and shoulders taller than us, and their muscles remind us of Rambo. Our frames are amusingly skinny to them. We are wimps, even the strongest of us, and because of that, they often mistake us for Afghans. And they are impressive warriors. We have not come across bad ones. As strange as it may seem to you, when you know how critical French people can be, even if some of them are a bit on the heavy side, all of them provide us every day with lessons in infantry know-how. Beyond the wearing of a combat kit that never seems to discomfort them, helmet strat, helmet combat goggles, rifles, etc., the long hours of watch at the outpost never seem to annoy them in the slightest. On the 1 square meter wooden tower above the perimeter wall, they stand the 5 consecutive hours in full battle rattle and night vision goggles on top. Their sight unmoving in the directions of likely danger. No distractions, no pauses. They are like statues, night and day. At night, all movements are performed in the dark. Only a handful of subdued red lights indicate the occasional presence of a soldier on the move. Same with the vehicles whose lights are covered. Everything happens in pitch dark, even filling the fuel tanks with the JP pump. Here we discover America as it is often depicted. Their values are taken to their paroxysm, often amplified by promiscuity and the loneliness of this outpost in the middle of the Afghan valley. And combat? If you have seen Rambo, you have seen it all. Always coming to the rescue when one of our teams gets in trouble, and always in the shortest delay. That is one of their tricks. They switch from t-shirt and sandals to combat ready in 3 minutes, arriving in contact with the enemy. The way they fight is simple and disconcerting. They just charge. They just charge. They disembark and assault in stride. They bomb first and ask questions later, which cuts any pussyfooting short. Honor, motherland, everything here reminds us of that. The American flag floating in the wind above the outpost, just like the one on the post parcels. Even if recruits often originate from the heart of American cities and gang territory, no one here has any goal other than to hold high and proud the Star Spangled Banner. Each man knows he can count on the support of a whole people, who provides them, through the mail, all that an American could miss in such a remote frontline location. Books, chewing gum, razor blades, Gatorade, toothpaste, and in such a way that every man is aware of how much the American people backs him in his difficult mission. And that is a first shock to our preconceptions. The American soldier is no individualist. The team, the group, the combat team are the focus of all his intention. This is the main area where I'd like to comment. Anyone with a passing knowledge of Kipling knows the lines from Chant Pagan. If your officer's dead and the sergeants look white, remember, it's ruin to run from a fight. So take open order, lie down, sit tight, and wait for supports like a soldier. This, in fact, is the basic philosophy of both British and Continental soldiers. In the absence of orders, take a defensive position, indeed virtually every army in the world. The American soldier and Marine, however, are imbued from early in their training with the ethos, in the absence of orders, attack, where other forces, for good or ill, will wait for precise orders and plans to respond to an attack or any other incident. The American force will simply go, counting on firepower and SOP to carry the day. This is one of the great strengths of the American force in combat, and it is something that even our closest allies, like the Brits and the Aussies, the latter being closer, by the way, find repeatedly surprising. No wonder it surprises the hell out of our enemies. So, would you like to hear some comments? Carrie Dagnes says, "We have the finest military in the world, filled with our finest young men and women. Let's hope and pray the satanic communist Obama does not leave them ill-equipped and further move to dismantle the military. One thing lacking in the tyrant Obama's character is he has never served in the military. You shouldn't be allowed into politics without a DD-214. sorry. I want the best. And a Harvard lawyer is not the best. Then again, if he had, they would have kicked him. The Shiite out of him for being an arrogant, racist pussycat. And he might be a different person today. Well said, Dagnis. Reply by Alan Bazagla. I say you're honest. Your reply is honest and very sincere. But you should never say Obama as Obama. I feel that he is America's Antichrist. I welcome your comments, Carrie Dagnis, as I feel we are on the same page. God bless America, and we the people shall, I need a word here, more than return. And this is by Macon. It's difficult to believe that a Frenchman wrote this. In my experience, he is correct. They are rather slight compared to us, and their motivation and dedication to a mission leave something to be desired. Same with Belgians and Spanish. But what they all seem to have in common is that they look to us for the example of how to accomplish a mission and fall very short of it. Eastern Europeans, Africans, and South Americans are about the same. Canadians, I am completely unimpressed with. And in the case of the Mexicans, it would have been better if they had not shown at all. The ones I enjoyed operating with the most were Australians and Israelis. You can rest assured that the respect level between Israel and Australia towards us exists also. Some would add the Brits to that list, but the arrogance level that comes out of their mouth is just obnoxious. They're telling it like it is, man. It's experience. You can't argue with experience. Here's one by Al Kabenbauer. Back in the early 80s, I lived in what was once known as West Germany, in a little town called Fischbach, just outside of Daun. Close enough to the French border that a Zoll barracks was only four buildings from us, and the border was 100 feet away. I found the local French people who didn't live in the cities loved and respected us. When we were in the cities, the fairly young two teenagers hated us. Seems that the propaganda machine was very busy against us Americans, but the country folks knew better. God bless the USA and the French country folk. I find that to be the truth with all country folk. Germans, too. Thank God we have men who are men. The metrosexuals, this is by Jimmy Watson. The metrosexuals on the left would have us all feminized. Let us not waste them fighting for nations that show no appreciation for our sacrifice. And here's by Brian McMillan. He's got an eagle for the logo. By far the world's best. Let's keep it that way in D.C. Philip Schneider. They bomb first and ask questions later. The American soldier and Marine, however, are imbued from early in their training with the ethos in the absence of orders attack, where other forces, for good or ill, will wait for precise orders and plan to respond to an attack or any other incident. The American force will simply go, counting on firepower and SOP to carry the day. With the liberal, progressive, Democrat machine, erase all those names and substitute communists. You're fighting communism in the U.S. today, and when you wake up and realize that, you will be able to deal with it. Otherwise, we're all going to be surrender dogs. Obliterating this nation from the top and the bottom, the liberal, progressive, Democrat machine. What the hell are we the people waiting for? Are we not the same cloth as our fighting soldiers as described in the view of this Frenchman? Political correctness is a communist tactic. I think it was introduced in 1914 by the communists. I know a guy that can give me the exact date and the name of the guy that introduced it. I'll do some research. Maybe I'll know it the next time I talk to you. I say we as a Vietnam veteran, Alan Basangla, follow orders delivered by our commanders. We, just like any foreign unit, are committed to work with. We establish a working environment. We must not forget our objective, our cohesiveness, and our commitment with each other's confidence. We'll conquer this enemy. ISIS or any other shall not survive. It's not America's statement, it's mine. And that's an outgoing message to Bo Birdcall. We all know you betrayed us. And Obama can promote you to sergeant, and he can give a lieutenant who did his duty 20 years in jail. But there's a day of reckoning, and what goes around comes around. And this is David Ogden. Sounds like the military I come to know and love. The American soldier, airman, sailor, or marine is truly in a league of their own. Judy Doyle, I read what this supposed French author said and wasn't impressed. Then I clicked on the next email and it was from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Yeah. Judy, you sold out your country, honey. Go get a country. Go get a country, Judy. I am concerned and I respect your input, says Alan, and I'm still hopeful our military will prevail. Our soldiers, sailors, and Marines, it's a shame we have a Shiite for a POTUS. Yeah. There's always, I got to tell you, the communists are very strong. They do what's called stunts. You know what's one of their stunts? You know one of their stunts is? They'll go into a Jewish cemetery and paint swastikas on the tombstones. And they'll knock the tombstones over. And they'll blame it on the right wingers. But it's only a communist stunt. Alan says he has only 2 years left. Let's see how our newly GOP reacts. They're not going to do nothing. Gary, I'm ashamed of what we have in the White House. Leslie says, makes me proud to be a military brat. And she's got a logo of a Don't Tread on Me snake eating the Obama logo. Ruth Hammonds says, ho ha, God bless them and all the honor with which they fight and patrol. No matter where, I don't know if you ever stood guard duty for 5 hours, but it's awful boring. Unless you're on the front line where a bullet can come your way any minute of the day. No matter where nor the peoples they are asked to fight with and or against, they take it head on and get it done for God, country, and the flag. That is why, however, that push come to shove, they will stand for the Constitution. Oh, yeah, if this president thinks he's going to take over this country with a command to the military, he better go down to Gettysburg and take a walk through the cemetery. Then he should go up to Arlington and take a walk through another cemetery. And then he should go to Normandy and take a walk through another cemetery. Gonna let it happen. Everybody's frustrated. Everybody's saying, nah, America won't stand up. We're finished. Not at all. There's 300 million of weapons in this country in the hands of American citizens. And you don't want to see pissed off Americans because they're slow to anger and they're slow to calm down. So don't push the envelope. Don't be cannon fodder for the communists. They're only going to use you for the front line. That's all they're going to use you for. You look at these demonstrations where they're pushing the black people in the front. Look in the back and see who's pushing them. They're all white communists. Students from communist colleges, Occupy Wall Street, Code Stink. Just because a corrupt government tells you to, they are our single best defense to all the evils and enemies we have. I would not want to be in an outfit if I were on the wrong side of a soldier. No soldier is going to be ordered to shoot his brother. He's not going to do it. He's not going to shoot his father and mother. They did a survey of 29 Palms Marines, and they said 19% of the Marines surveyed would fire on American citizens if ordered to do so. Maybe 19% on the first day, but once they see what they've done, it's all over for the communists. And it won't be the first time that communists were rounded up and deported back to Russia. I didn't come from Russia. Well, you're going there now. Washington can try to change them and bring in the weak and the inferior. But there are plenty who will stand for all that the military means. And that is the few, the proud, and the brave will be there. Obama can try, but he will not win in this change crap because there's nothing about the foundation of America and who we are that needs changing. And a word to the wise immigrants coming into this country, and you better get into that melting pot and you better assimilate real quick. And that is the few, the proud, and the brave will be there. 25% is all it took to win the American Revolution. And when they got finished, they deported all those. You could stay if you want, but it would be better if you got on that last British ship leaving. Your life might be happier if you went back to the old country. And New York was one that pro-British. New York hasn't changed, but it was more patriotic in 1776 than it is today. It is really sad. But remember, it only took 25% to win. That's what the communists are counting on. They think that their 25% is going to be able to enslave the other 75%. But our 25% is going to free the other 50% and exterminate the 25%. Washington can try to change them and bring them in the weak and inferior. Bring in the weak and inferior. Obama can try, but he will not win with his change crap. Anyone who thinks Obama and the like of him are on the wrong side of things. America does not want or need this Obama change in insanity. He ought to know that by now. But if not, he will be before it is all done. Because Americans love this nation, freedom, and are proud of who we really have. Even the ones who don't know how much freedom they've lost will come to realize it when Obama shows his true red colors. Bring back the old West. That's how it was won and how this wild country was settled. And aren't you glad that we became a nation from sea to shining sea? And all the protection that from sea to shining sea afforded us? You know what Admiral Yamamoto said when they said, after Pearl Harbor, are we going to follow through and attack the West Coast and invade the United States? He said, we can't do it because behind every blade of grass is an American with a rifle. And we got 300 million of them that we know about in this country today. Any fool that does not know the history and heritage of Americans has learned nothing. And those that have become lily-livered cowards ought to tuck or run because when push comes to shove, there are a lot of wonderful patriots and strong Americans. If it gets real bad, the entire country will go underground, and no one will work with another team. Each one will work individually, but the goal will be known and recognized, and you don't want to be an enemy of the American people when they have to go underground. Don't even include the name of Obama in the same breath. This is by Randall. He doesn't deserve any part of anything they are involved in. He treats them like dogs and spits on the wounded. He wouldn't last 5 seconds in a combat situation. He would be urinating in his pants. God bless all of our great military. Obama couldn't serve a cup of coffee to any member of our military, old Sarge, non-vet, 68 to 70, lock and load. I see his blogs a lot. He can't wait. He's really sad. That's very good. It's a nice tribute for a Frenchman. Very nice. That's a beau geste, a beautiful gesture. Thank you very much. Okay. And to never forget the Marquis de Lafayette. He came, he was rich. He bought a ship to sail to the United States to serve with Washington. And when he got here, he turned the ship over to the U.S. Navy, which probably had one other ship. And I think, if I remember this story, he went back to France for the French Revolution, and he prevented Louis XIV and Marie Antoinette from escaping. But eventually they turned on him, and when he died, they buried him in an unmarked grave. It was a mistake to turn on Louis. I believe the French Revolution was a big mistake. They killed all the wrong, and everybody could have lived on cake. But I believe that the Marquis de Lafayette was buried in a shabby, unmarked grave, and Teddy Roosevelt sent a fleet of warships to go bring him home. And I believe he's buried in Annapolis. I'm not sure about that, but I thought I read that story somewhere. Just like I read about Nathan Hale being denied a Bible. Many of us are going to be denied Bibles when it's our turn to be a Nathan Hale. And they tore up a letter he wrote to his mother. This is a policeman's song. I'm dedicating it to the cops who gave their lives for a community that really doesn't appreciate their sacrifice. One was a Latino, and one was a Chinese. Great people, both great people. God bless them all.
I was 18 years old when I went down to Dublin with a fistful of money and a cartload of dreams. Take your time, said me father, stop rushing like hell. Remember, all is not what it seems to be. For the fellas would put you for the coat on your back, for the watch that you got from your mother. So take care, me young bucko, and mind yourself well. Will you give this sweet note to me, brother? At the time Uncle Benji was a fleet man in Brooklyn, me father, the youngest, looked after the farm. When a phone call from America said send the lad over, the old fella said sure it wouldn't do any harm. For I spent my life working this dirty old ground, while a few pints of porter and the smell of a pound. Sure, maybe there's something you'll learn, I'll see, and you can bring it back home. Take it easy on me. So I landed at Kennedy on a big yellow taxi, carried me and me back through the streets and the way. Well, me poor heart was pumping around with excitement. I hardly even heard what the driver was saying. We came in the short pathway to the flatlands in Brooklyn, to my uncle's apartment on East 53rd. I was feeling so happy, I was humming a song, and I sang, you're as free as a bird. Well, to shorten the story, what I found out that day was that Benji was shot down in an uptown parade. And while I was flying my way to New York, poor Benji was lying in a cold city morgue. Well, I phoned up the old fella, told him the news. I could tell he could hardly stand up in his shoes. And he went, as he told, go ahead with the plan, but not to forget the proud Irishman. So I went up to Nellie's beside Forum Road, and I started to learn about lifting a load. But the heaviest thing that I carried that year was the bittersweet heart of my hometown so dear. I went home that December, cause the owl full of died, had to borrow the money from Bill on the side.
my flowers are for our good times, the poor waste of faith of the farmer. I sold up the old vineyard for what it was worth. Into my bag stuck a handful of bread. Then I boarded a train and I cut me a plane, and I found myself back in the U.S. again. It's been 22 years since I set foot in Dublin. The kids know to use the correct knife and fork, but I'll never forget the green grass and the rivers as I keep law and order on the streets of New York.
Uncle Benji was killed in an uptown foray. Uncle Benji was a cop, just like the guy that's singing the song. And what does he say? He keeps law and order. The kids know how to use the correct knife and fork because he keeps law and order on the streets of New York. You hear anything in a song about, I like to kill black people? Cops want to go to work and they want to come home. They want to get out of the job in 20 years or 15 years and take a pension. That's their goal. That's their only goal. They ain't out there writing down with the Ku Klux Klan. But you see, the communists play the simple and the ignorant. And they control them. You think about it. Look around. See who's pushing you into the fire. Congratulations, America. This is a poll. Ben Carson is now your 2016 GOP frontrunner. Personally, I don't think Ben Carson can make it. I think Obama has so much damage, it will take a generation before a black man is trusted. I got to tell it like it is. That's what I see. I hope I eat my words. I really do. I like Ben Carson. And I like Alan West, too. Alan West to put it all on the line for this country, and they try to put him in jail. Feel the Carson momentum. Breathe it in. Embrace it. It's happening. Yes, it's true. The news media did its best to ignore the effort to draft and elect Ben Carson as president, but they can't ignore Ben Carson anymore. The above headline and quote from the Huffington Post says it all. Huffington Post is a communist blog. And I got to tell you, Arianna Huffington is a very, very devious woman. She convinced stupid college kids to build her Huffington Post. And they worked for nothing. And they gave all their time and effort to build the Huffington Post. And then she turned around and she pocketed $350 million and never said thank you and sold it to AOL. Ben Carson is now firmly established as a front runner, perhaps the front runner for the 2016 Republican nomination for president. It's not only, you see how people get scared into frenzies? Here's an example. How many Ebola victims in the United States to date? Two or three? And they dragged a whole bunch of money out of the treasury to fight Ebola. And the two or three that came here came from Liberia, came from Africa. So to date, we've got three Ebola victims. And the House and the Senate, they ripped off of the Treasury. We're fighting Ebola. Here's some for you. What's your name? My name is Ebola. Oh, you get double. Yeah. It's not only the polls like Fox News that show Ben Carson as frontrunner. The Des Moines Register poll in Iowa has Carson at the top. But is Ben Carson going to run for president? I'm 100% certain that he is, but I'll let you judge. Well, Terry Giles, a Houston multimillionaire, announced that he and his wife are moving to Washington, D.C. More important, Giles and five other members of the Carson team met at the Capitol Hyatt in Washington, D.C. Two, interviewed 35 people who will be staffing his campaign. Talked with security professionals who will protect him. Confer with owners of airline charters to secure a campaign plane. Meet with celebrity handlers who would serve as an advance team for the campaign. Consult with political strategists to guide the campaign through the rough shoals of the national political campaign. Yes, Ben Carson is running for president. Remember the 2015 Iowa caucus? I call it carcass. 1 year away. Some are still trying to dismiss Ben Carson as a legitimate candidate. And Democrats, and I don't call them Democrats, I call them communists. There's only one party fighting the communists in this country. It's the Tea Party. The rhinos are now the Democrats, and the Democrats are now the Communist Party. Just listen to this awful diatribe by Congressional Black Caucus member Hank Johnson of Georgia. Johnson begins by saying that Ben Carson boosters like you and me have a vein of ignorance and that we act like a lynch mob. Of Ben Carson, he says, African Americans like Dr. Ben Carson, who is very smart, well-educated, knows exactly what he's doing. When we have blacks trying to tap into the ignorance of people who have been whipped into a frenzy like a lynch mob, and you go to try and garner support from these folks, I think it is very disappointing that you will have any kind of political discourse going on in this country. Far leftists like Hank Johnson are scared to death about their betrayal of the African-American communities about to be exposed. Now, let me see. I saw some stats I'm going to share with you. Just 17% of the black vote. That's right. If Carson receives just 17% of the black vote, he wins every swing state and marches right into the White House as the first president who is the descendant of slaves. And frankly, I expect Ben Carson to win much more than 17% of the black vote. Now, here's where the guy is drawing his conclusion. When Herman Cain ran for president in 2012, his internal polls showed him winning more than 40% of the black vote and nearly 60% of the Hispanic vote. Cain's campaign team was stunned. How could this be true? They finally concluded it was because both black and Hispanic Americans identified with the life experience of Herman Cain. He had escaped poverty to become a successful and prosperous businessman. And because poor blacks and Hispanics want to escape poverty, why not support someone who knows how to do so? Very true. The truth is that while Herman Cain was well respected in the black and Hispanic communities, Ben Carson is an icon. And you remember how they got Cain, right? You remember how they got Herman Cain? They had a few white women come out and say that he put the rush on them. And one of the women that put the nail in his coffin happened to be in an apartment complex with, David Axelrod, but she never met him. She was a political climber, but she happened to live in the same apartment complex as David Axelrod, but she never met him. When I heard that, I said, wow, that's it, man. The Democrats know how to bring you down. They know how to destroy you. And one of the big tools they use is sexual innuendos. Yes. Okay, so they're saying that Ben Carson has a good chance. I know one thing. We can't take Obama staying, and we got to make sure that he be going. It is really sad. Okay, I'm out of time. And God bless America, and look forward to the coming of baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is—it's his birthday. It's not Santa's. Presents are nice, but remember all the presents. Baby Jesus only got 3 presents, but he got the love of a mother and father. And there's a lot of kids out there today that don't have that. It is really sad. Okay. It's really sad. I see a lot of bipolar. I see a lot of autism. I wonder. I never saw that growing up. Okay, I'm closing.
Nature of battle.